Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome to another edition of Drift. Thank you for tuning in for a live broadcast coming from the University of Dayton, Ohio. Joining me in studio, Patrick, Mark, Dan Patrick Martin, Joey Vollmer, Joe Vollmer Sr., and Brandon Doyle. All right, so we got hosted by the SAE House down here at the University of Dayton. We're down for the basketball game. Playing who tonight?
Playing the Richmond Spiders.
Okay,
good
so
club, good club.
Richmond Spiders, and I thought I'd give you guys a nice plug for the SAE House. Now tell me, you guys are the newest fraternity on campus?
Right, so we're the most recent fraternity on campus. All social fraternity at the University of Dayton, and we are currently growing our membership here. We're broadcasting from a house where the majority of the members are brothers, and we're doing some real great things. So if you're listening and you go to the University of Dayton, you're a guy interested, you know where to find us.
All right. And what's really nice about this university, you know, you look for that mythical unicorn of what is a conservative university. The University of Dayton is that mythical unicorn. Everyone I've talked to here, students, men, women, they are all very conservative in nature so far. I have not seen any of the liberal kids out here that I'm sure they're here, but we're not seeing them out on the streets.
Well, they're not allowed at this house.
And that goes beyond the students at the University of Dayton, too. I think that when you get into the actual education you're receiving as well, you know, myself being a political science student, and I've taken, you know, I've experienced classes across all schools, but in general, even within the poli sci department, in the economics department, all sorts of philosophy department even, I'm finding consistently more conservative teachings I really expected at a university level.
Yeah, and get down here in the heart of Ohio, you're actually finding those core community values. It's Father's Weekend here, and so a lot of the old alumni from SAE, guys that have lived in this actual house in the past, have come up here and are hanging out, and they are a good group of guys who care about their school, who care about their community. So it's a nice change to see modern American values still surviving today. So it's a pleasure to be here, and we're glad you guys invited us down. So
thanks for doing it here.
Okay, so what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news of the week from thedailydrift.com. If you haven't been to thedailydrift.com, go to www.thedailydrift.com and stay abreast of all the links and stories that I put on there for you, and educate yourself, because it's the information that you will not see on the mainstream media. So what I wanted to talk about, I changed the show a little bit after hanging out with these kids last night, and I say kids, but they're young adults. They have all gone and seen American Sniper. And I get the common theme, at least at this university. And I don't think it's, you've seen the Michael Moores, you've seen the Seth Rogans, bad mouthing Chris Kyle. These guys went and saw it. Brendan, what was your take on American Sniper?
So I went and saw it Wednesday night over at the Green here in Dayton. A couple of my friends here have seen it at different times, and I couldn't help but notice, probably the one thing I would take away is at the end of the movie, I don't want to ruin it, but at the end there is real-life footage of Chris Kyle's funeral service, memorial service at Cowboys Stadium, or AT&T Stadium, and I couldn't help but notice that it was silent in the movie theater. No one got up and left. It was, to quote my friend Danny Martin here, it was like a funeral. It was powerful. And that was probably the one word you have to describe the movie in. It was powerful. And there are certain parts in it that were very well done. Clint Eastwood, this is something that I think he really takes a lot of pride in. And you could see it the way he produced the movie. And that's not even getting into the performances of Bradley Cooper mainly. But it was a powerful movie. Highly recommend if you haven't seen it.
Okay, Dan Martin, your thoughts on seeing American Sniper?
American Sniper, if you look, you know, Michael Moore and Seth Rogen and Rolling Stone and everyone else who bashed it. They're not even worth the oxygen to talk about. I mean, they're not even worth it. But you can talk about the movie being propaganda, about being a war movie, about glorifying war, what we're doing over there. Well, first of all, if you walk out of that movie and the first thing you think of is you want to kill Arabs, you want to do this, you want to do that, you're just as wrong as the other side. I think what the movie does, it shows the struggles of families, of soldiers, the struggles of PTSD, and the people who we turn back from war as we wind down our efforts. And it should renew our efforts as, you know, millions of Americans see the movie. It should remind us that we need to help these soldiers. We need to get them jobs. And we need to make sure they get back to, you know, civilian life in a peaceful way.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so, Derek, we've got some tracks of the liberal nonsense that we've seen. Do you have track one from Bill Maher? No. Okay, well, we'll go back and we'll try. See if you can dig that up. What you're seeing is the liberal media bashing it, and it's, again, the hate for America. And that's what comes out of people like Bill Maher. And I'd say 90% of the time, Joe, you're a big Bill Maher fan. 90% of the time, I'm on the opposite side of the page as Bill Maher.
And well, I would say I watch Bill Maher because I try to watch everything that I can to establish my own opinion. But when it comes to things like filmmaking, like, okay, I haven't seen American Sniper yet. I can't wait to go see it based on all of the discussion about it. But yeah, my take is, you know, I'm going to go make my own opinion. I don't listen necessarily to Bill Maher or anyone else to form my own opinions. If anything, I'm going to listen to the common sense folks here at the Daily Drift, right? But I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, and from what I hear about it, I'm expecting to go see a movie that really celebrates the life of a great American patriot.
Okay. So, Derek, let's go into a break, and we'll see if we can pull up that track. If we can't, we can't. But if we can, we'll pull it up, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. You're on the Drift.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and website. DailyDrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Multiple sclerosis destroys connection, so it's only fitting that connection would be its greatest enemy, because connection takes away MS's ability to isolate. And as more connections form, we end up with more knowledge, more resources, more understanding, more ideas, and more hope. And then the connections we make become more powerful than the connections MS destroys. MS kills connection. Connection kills MS. Give what you know at msconnection.org.
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham! Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Santa Fe to Boston, Japan to England, wherever you may be, Wham! Talk 1600 is there. Online and streaming live. whamradio.com.
There you go. Welcome. All right, so welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift at the SEE House, frat house down at University of Dayton, here for a basketball game tonight, and found by chance a group of conservative guys who are pushing the conservative agenda and that common sense agenda that we love. So
hey,
all is not lost, America, when you see good college kids, good American kids who believe in our old traditional values. So we were talking about American Sniper and some of the abuse, frankly, that I call it, coming from the left when they call now-deceased American Sniper Chris Kyle a psychopath. And that's what Bill Maher said on his own show. Now, Grant, part of his job is to get people talking and to make stupid statements, but you can see in his eyes when you see the video, and I've got it up at thedailydrift.com. Make sure you go there. You'll see that, and you'll see Howard Dean as well. Now, you remember Howard Dean, failed Democratic presidential candidate, and his scream, I don't know if we can pull that one up at some point, Derek, but that's the kind of guy you see bashing American progress, bashing the pride of America when a guy like Chris Kyle can put his life on the line to save thousands of U.S. soldiers. This was not a job. He enjoyed killing people. He enjoyed saving lives, and that's what he was doing. So it's the abuse of the left that doesn't look good for the rest of us. So, Joey, did you see it as well?
Yes, sir. Yes, I did.
And?
Well, I did not read the book, which is, you know, I guess a little bit unusual for me. But right away, I picked up off the film. There's a great metaphor right at the beginning. I don't want to give much away, but the metaphor is, you know, the figure of speech says there's three types of people in the world. There's sheep, there's wolves, and there's sheepdogs. And that's that's kind of underlying the whole theme of the movie is that he was a sheepdog, not a wolf.
Protecting the pack. Yeah.
He's the man who was doing it for a reason, and that gets built on in the movie as you see towards. And I'm not going to give it away again, but the emphasis of the movie is the protection of people, not the killing of people. And that's made clear to the viewer who watches it. It's not about the most glorious killer in American history. It's about one of the most glorious defenders in American history.
Yeah.
I think criticism of that is despicable.
Okay. Now, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I did read the book. And for me, it hit home because about 2 weeks after I finished the book, Chris Kyle died at the hands of a guy he was trying to help. Another veteran, unfortunately, who's suffering allegedly from PTSD. And so it hit home for me. And if you've read the books from Marcus Luttrell or seen the movies that they've done, Lone Survivor, these are American heroes. And for anybody in this country to say otherwise is a disgrace. And we need to stop being politically correct. When he talks about these savages, he's not talking about the Iraqi people. He's talking about Iraqi insurgents, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, those people with the mentality that it's perfectly fine to kill children, to kill women, to kill innocents in the quest to further their own quasi-religious cult. And we need to remember that and put America first, because you know what? It's nonsense to call a guy like Chris Kyle a psychopath.
Yeah, but part of it, Gary, I think, is that it's not even entirely... much of this is due to the fact that it's Clint Eastwood who directed the film, right? I think it's the Hollywood elite liberals going after, having an opportunity to go after Clint Eastwood, who is a renowned Republican patriot. And I think that that plays a role in the attacks on this movie.
Yeah, you know, when you think back about what Clint did at the Republican convention, the empty suit bit with Obama, is this the left's payback to him?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, this could be just, you know, a part of it has to be that.
I think, and this is kind of just from watching it for what it is, if you take away that left versus right, Clint Eastwood, as you were saying, you just need to look at it from the perspective that you're not going to, whether you're going to glorify this man or not, you just have to look objectively at what happened. And this is something, I think it's a beautiful movie in the fact that it really does highlight how troubled some of these servicemen and women are. And of all the talks of helping certain groups in our society, I feel like it is kind of underplayed how much help these men and women need. They go out, as you said, they lay their life on the line, they stand for what we as a country strive to be. And they come back, and it's not easy. You can't just flip a switch and go from what Chris Kyle was, as they called him, a legend for killing. And I think the movie did highlight how troubling it is to do what he did. And he had to come home to a family, a wife and kids, and try and be a normal member of society. That's tough to do. I think that's something, if anything, the movie should highlight is how much these men and women need assistance from the society, our society, who doesn't go abroad.
All right. Well, let's move on while we have time before the next break. Let's move on to the State of the Union. Anyone watch the State of the Union?
Unfortunately.
Yes. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes. Of course.
Brandon?
I was working.
Okay.
Yes, I did see parts.
So what struck me the most was the ultimate outright lies being spouted by Barack Hussein Obama about the economy being so good, about taking credit for gas prices coming down. We all know fracking has got nothing to do with the federal government. They've tried to stop it. That has been Barack Obama's policies. And what little is good about the economy comes from the private fracking and increasing our oil and gas production. So when you looked at, Dan, that speech, what hits you more than anything else?
It sounds great. You know, it sounds great. It's your dream. You know, it's like when you buy a lotto ticket, you spend some money in the shower when you think of how you're going to do all these great things you want to do. But the end of the day is you can't do it. Yeah, free college sounds great. Fracking. Well, first of all, fracking, we're talking about, it's all on private land. We can't, the federal government's not letting him do it. He can steal the credit as much as he wants. A year ago, he was counting against it, but all of a sudden, for whatever reason, we have oil prices dropping and now gas is at affordable rates. Now let's steal the credit for it. I mean, there's lies throughout the speech.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a major cheerleading festival, as far as I'm concerned, with Barack. And one of the other things that really struck me as totally disingenuous was when he berated the Republican Congress for not moving ahead with pay inequality for women. Okay. And Derek, you've got track four ready? Okay, so this is Valerie Jarrett. Now, if you don't know who Valerie Jarrett is, she's Obama's top advisor at the White House. By the way, happens to have been born in Iran, spent the first 5 years of her life in Iran, and has relationships with Iran. And it should at least set you to wonder why Barack Obama has such willingness to negotiate with Iran in a way that's not good for the United States and the rest of the world. So Valerie Jarrett gets on the news and is interviewed about the comments of equal pay. Now, there has been equal pay on the books since 1962, I think. And so for Barack Obama to say it's time to do something about it is, again, another complete fabrication. Let's play that track, Derek.
Good morning, Valerie. I think certainly every woman on this panel and every woman across the nation agrees that equal pay for equal work is absolutely required. I also think it's just a fact that laws exist on the books today, and if a woman is being discriminated against because of her gender, she should use the full extent of that law. I'm struck by the fact that the president hasn't really led in this. He's not paying women equally by his own measures in his own White House. And I'm also struck by the fact that the single greatest impediment to equal pay for equal work is this seniority system, which pays not on merit, not on performance, but on time and grade. And who is it who supports a seniority system? Unions, government bureaucracies, the vast majority of constituencies that the Democratic Party represents and who support the Democratic Party. So why wouldn't the White House take on the seniority system and say, let's pay women by merit and by their results? Because based on my own experience, in those scenarios, women will be paid equally.
Well, let's unpack your question a little bit, folks. So first of all, the first question and the last question, let's weave them together. In the White House, women do earn equal pay for equal work.
Okay. Flat out lie. Obama's female staffers make 83 cents on the dollar comparable to their male staffers. Now, once again, they can lie, and the media doesn't. Why didn't that media personality catch her on it right there? It's unbelievable the way the lies are just spouted off and the media does nothing to come up with it and deny that they're telling the truth.
It's the same old, it's the same thing since 2008. Nothing's changed. He still sit up there as the Messiah.
Yeah. Brandon?
To speak to the media trend, and this is something I feel that I've noticed, we live in a world, a society right now in this country where the general trend of the popular media sources are very liberal. And you see that these sources are willing to jump on George Bush 6 years later. They're willing to jump on other Republican right-wing entities, whereas they're very easy on Democrats and they're very easy on Barack Obama. And it's interesting. It's very interesting how media has trended left in the past couple of years since Twitter has emerged, since all these other, mainstream media has risen to power. It's beyond me how it's gotten so, it trends so left nowadays.
Yeah. Well, this has been a long time in the making, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And I literally forced myself. I've tried not to watch all of the State of the Unions from Barack. This time, for sure, I watched it from beginning to end. And I did. Did you guys watch Joni Ernst when she had the Republican response?
Yes.
The two things that I did not like about both speeches, neither the Republicans nor Barack Obama mentioned Islam or Muslim extremism or jihadism as a problem in foreign policy. Just denying it. Total denial of what's happening in the world. You were going to say, Dan?
It's the PC police. We're afraid. We're too soft. We're afraid. Look at Paris. We read every world leader, but the United States didn't show up because we can't, go out and call what it is. It's a war on, Islam extremists. Not a war on Islam itself, but the extremists. That's who these people are. 2 + 2 = 4 at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that after 6 years of Barack Obama, for myself, and Joe, I'm the conspiracy guy. For me, Barack Hussein Obama has to have an ulterior motive to be ignoring the problem and to allow Muslims, even in this country, to take positions of power when these aren't just moderate Muslims. These are people with ties to CARE and Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're allowed in our government. I mean, what is he doing to us?
Well, the thing that surprises me, well, I guess it doesn't surprise me, but disappoints me, is the president is always saying, let's be careful, let's be cautious, let's remember that this, let's remember that, instead of ever just coming out and saying, damn it, why are the Muslims in the news every day for another bomb or shooting somewhere that's going on? It's always about, we need to be cautious and we need to be careful. No, sometimes it's just time to be pissed.
Yeah. All right, well, there's the hard break.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Dave Perkins. As the Middle East becoming more and more unstable, the president cutting his trip to India short to visit Saudi Arabia's new King Salman, replacing his older brother, the late King Abdullah, who had been growing frustrated with American response to Syria and Iran. Speaking of the president and Middle East instability,
when he cited Yemen as a success just a few months ago, I winced at that.
Florida Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis.
Because there has been a lot of instability. Of course, AQAP has been operating there for a long time.
Yemen's government collapsing, the president resigning.
We're now looking at a situation where you're going to have Iranian-backed militants seize control of the government. The moderate Sunni establishment who we had been allied with, you know, they're being pushed out.
DeSantis appearing on Fox News saying AQAP now de facto bigger, stronger, and with more room to operate. The president with little to say about what goes on in the Middle East on his weekly radio address, still focused on the same old thing.
I know that there are Republicans in Congress who disagree with my approach, and I look forward to hearing their ideas for how we can pay for what the middle class needs to grow.
More taxes, more spending, more redistribution. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace reports on America's favorite psychiatrist's view of the president's Middle East policy.
The detachment from reality of this administration on the consequences of its policy of retreat is truly staggering.
That's conservative commentator Charles Krauthammer. The U.S. is suspending some anti-terrorism operations against al-Qaeda terrorists in Yemen following a takeover of the country by Iran-backed rebels. Krauthammer says the turmoil in Yemen worries the Saudis.
The Saudis live in the region. The Saudis are next door. The Saudis are scared to death because Iran is surrounding them. And they know exactly what's happening in Yemen, and they know who's behind the rebels.
Krauthammer on Fox News, The Kelly File. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The American Business Women's Association Maya Chapter in Ann Arbor presents Rescuing the Reluctant Networker. It'll be Tuesday, February 17th at the Quarter Bistro, 300 South Maple Road in Ann Arbor. 6 p.m. for networking, 6:30 p.m. is the dinner meeting. RSVP by noon on February 12th at abwa-maia.org. Space is limited. You can also email Sharon at walkers@umich.edu with any questions. There's going to be a bowling fundraiser to support Friends of Michigan Animals Rescue Saturday, February 21st at Thunder Bowl Lanes, 4200 Allen Road in Allen Park. 4:30 p.m. check-in, 5 p.m. start time. The cost is $20 per person, which includes 3 hours of bowling, pizza, and pop. For more information, call 734-461-9458. Each year, children are placed into foster homes due to circumstances beyond their control. Their home life has been disrupted, and they are in need of a strong, stable place to live until they are able to return home. Caring homes are needed to provide a safe place for these children to live until they can return to their birth families. Homes are needed for children of all ages, especially teenagers. Girlstown Foundation, a nonprofit organization, has served children and families in the Metro Detroit area since 1958. Your help is needed. Interested people can call 734-697-4804 extension 241 or visit girlstownfoundation.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or WAAM 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Hey friends, stay around here. I had the weirdest dream the other day. I was giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a goat. It was a cute goat.
Crazy.
It was crazy, and the goat was trapped beneath a burning oil tanker out on I-94. And through the window of the tanker, I could hear the driver. He was listening to the radio. That is before he was engulfed in flames. He was listening to the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. You're tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift, live from Dayton, Ohio, University of Dayton, down for the basketball game. And we're being hosted today at the SAE House on campus. So joining me in studio, our ad hoc studio, Dan Martin.
Joey Vollmer.
Joe Vollmer.
And Brendan Doyle.
And we're talking about the new election coming up. And 2016 is not that far off.
Hey, Gary.
And we drifted up. We hooked up a story on the drift about Marco Rubio, who jumped out of the last election pretty quickly. He wasn't capable of doing anything. But now he is looking to possibly get into the race. And he actually showed up in a poll as number two behind Mitt Romney. And Charles Krauthammer had this to say about it. Do you have that track ready, Derek? Let's play that.
Fellow panelists, if I gave you $100, sent you to Las Vegas to bet on the candidate most likely to be the Republican nominee, how would you allocate your funds?
Your chips.
Your chips, yes.
40 on Rubio, 30 on Bush, 15 on Scott Walker, and I blow the rest on booze.
All right, wait, leave it right there. Put Charles back up there. 40 on Rubio?
He's my underestimated dark horse candidate who threads his way, young, energetic, he's got a program, and I think if he runs against Hillary, the contrast, say the vigor, the energy, that Kennedy-esque idea, will be a major one.
My question is, if I gave you $100.
Okay, so Marco Rubio was always one of my favorites, and I think he lost a lot of credibility when he wasn't strong on immigration and worked on that bipartisan Senate immigration package that most conservatives were very much against. And I think it damaged him. But I think what people need to understand is he is still a young man. He can change his views and correct his behavior. And I think he has or will be willing to be a little tougher on immigration than what he was previously. And so I'm hoping that people can overlook that. Doyle? As a young college student, you'll be voting next time around.
Right.
Here's what you've got so far. You've got a Bush, you've got a Romney, you've got a Rubio, you've got a Rand Paul, you've got a Ted Cruz. Out of those five, what would you pick?
Well, I think it's very interesting what Krauthammer mentioned. He's young, he's energetic. That's something that the Democratic Party has prided themselves on, and that's something that I think they build around, having a young, energetic, new blood, that type of vote. I think you get a younger guy in there, like a Rubio. He's young. He's exactly as Charles said. He's young. He's energetic. I think it's very interesting.
Okay.
I think it's,
so you think he can steal votes?
I think yes. Yeah. I think the American public is in a position where you could steal votes based on youth and energy.
I wouldn't call it vote stealing. I think it's expanding your base. It's
exactly.
Marco Rubio. You can back to the Hispanic vote. Look how George Bush got elected. The fact of the matter is, Republicans have got it handed to us in the last two presidential elections by not, wide margins. And I want to, we have to expand our base. We have to, Marco Rubio, he's young. You get the Hispanic vote. We got Florida. We want to win elections, expand your vote base. I mean, it's simple logic.
It is that simple. And it's a marketing factor that the Republicans need to address. You can't just ignore that part of the market. Joey, your feelings out of those five that I named.
I think the interesting one there is, he tossed out $30 on Rubio. I'm not sure what he spent on booze, but he put out $30 also on Jeb Bush.
And that's your establishment candidate.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you contrast the two is where you get real interesting, because what does Marco bring to the table that Jeb Bush doesn't? What does Jeb bring to the table that Marco doesn't? Jeb brings the Bush family legacy.
Jeb brings an Hispanic life. He speaks Spanish, his son. He's got a lot of those aspects. The problem is with him and all these, because he's a capitalist, there's nothing wrong with that. But the way the left media would portray him to be, he'll tie him to Romney, and he'll go after all his past business connections. It'll be the same old, same old. Yes, he just stepped down from his board, but they're going to drag him through the mud. That's something that, he was an excellent governor, but they're going to drag him through the mud, and that's something that maybe Marco Rubio could kind of hide from a little bit.
Yeah, I got to say, the establishment republic, is it going to take George Bush? And what he brings to me, when you ask that question, what does he bring? Mm-hmm. For me, the Bush brings baggage.
That's
okay, it brings a lot of baggage. You've got two George Bushes that the media hates. that much of the electorate hates.
And how do you shed that? How do you shed that?
You don't. There is no way that can be shed. And I'm hoping that the establishment Republicans will see that in time and stop embracing Jeb Bush. Not saying he's a bad guy, but he is not electable. And that's what it comes down to.
To your point on that real quick, the same staleness you seem to be talking about with the Bush family legacy. At what point do we start talking about Mitt Romney having that same staleness for losing an election? You know,
I would agree 100%. Yeah. Mitt Romney would have been a great president. His time has come and passed. He missed it. He wasn't able. And we had this discussion with some of the fathers downstairs. He didn't go after Obama after the first debate, and he should have. He won the first one by margin because he was strong. And then he backpedaled and didn't go after him. And a perfect case was Benghazi.
Well, I tell you, the part that I look forward to is the comedy in this. When you put when it becomes apparent that Rubio is going to be the Republican frontrunner, you're going to see the Democratic Party absolutely wet themselves because they are not going to know what to do. To put Hillary up against Mark Rubio is going to cause absolute division and panic in the Democratic Party. It'll be fun to watch.
It will be fun to watch. And what's amazing is they don't seem to be building a bench at all in the Democratic Party. It wasn't 2 weeks ago that Elizabeth Warren, who everyone suspected might be another possible candidate, said she is not going to run. That's not to say she could change her mind if she so chose. But they've got a bench of one at this point in the Democratic Party.
Yeah. But even Elizabeth Warren, okay, I think her age is plus or minus 6 months of Hillary's, right? So you're not talking about some young candidate with her either.
No, absolutely not. And she comes with her own set of baggage. And I hope for the sake of the country, we don't have another Bush-Clinton baggage-filled election of choosing the lesser of two evils. Because let's frankly face it, we've had enough of the dynasties of Bush and Clinton's, and I think it's time to move on. And I hope and I think and I believe with all my heart that the American people will be ready to do that.
Can I throw something in real quick?
Sure.
It's topical now. Chris Christie.
Chris Christie for me is done. I really don't want anything to do with Chris Christie. I think he brings the amount of baggage. I think he blew it when he embraced Obama after, Hurricane Sandy. And I think at that point, a lot of people, a lot of Republicans said, you know what, you really did damage Romney. It probably wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back, but it was enough, I think, and it came at a time that was very important in that election.
I speak from a place of emotion just real quick on Sandy. I'm from the area, and people were hurting. It still is not great back on the shore areas. I don't think that's it. Embracing Obama, yes, but There's a breaking point of where help needs to reach people, and Sandy was, again, we're broadcasting from Dayton, Ohio, but I am from the East Coast, and it was bad. So from that aspect, I actually don't think too many local Republicans.
All right, so you're happy with Chris Christie?
No, but that I don't think that's what
I think He put politics aside. You know, there's a time for politics. Unfortunately, it was terrible timing before the election, and it was a momentum changer. Absolutely. But I'm a Republican as it gets, but you know what? There's a reason you get your elected office, and that's to govern. And he went and governed and did what's right. He put politics aside. Did it cost? Yeah. But I think anyone who's a red-blooded American should be able to see the difference. Don't call yourself a Republican if you can't put politics aside for a second and actually do your job.
Okay, fair enough. Good. Well, Derek, let's go into a break. And when we come back, we're going to do our – because we're going to tie it with the foreign policy of Barack Obama. See you on the other side. I know it's easy to feel out of control, and even easier to tune out the news you need to know. Yes, it seems the world is exploding in violence, our country is falling apart, and our elected leaders do absolutely nothing to stop it. But you're not alone. I'm Gary Wellings, editor of the Daily Drift and the Current Newspaper, where we uphold values of common sense every day. And now you can join in on the conversation by catching the Drift Radio Show every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. here on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600. Don't give up on Gary.
bury your head in the sand. Get educated on the political issues that affect you. Stay informed on current events and find ways to make a difference with us. Every Saturday on The Drift.
That's The Drift Radio Show, heard every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600, Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse. You can also tune in by going to whamradio.com.
For the best deals in town on appliances, TVs, premium mattresses, furniture, and more, get to ABC Warehouse. The closest thing to wholesale is more than just a slogan. It's the way they've been doing business for more than 50 years. ABC Warehouse is a family-owned and operated Michigan-based company with 43 locations to serve you. And if ABC Warehouse can't beat your best deal, they will give you $1,000 guaranteed. Hurry in for store-wide savings of up to 65% and deep discounts on innovative top-brand appliances from Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Maytag, Amana, LG, Samsung, and many more. ABC Warehouse is the appliance giant.
Right now at ABC Warehouse, get a Maytag high-efficiency washer and matching dryer closeout priced only $3.97 each. And visit our booth at the Novi Home Improvement Show for a chance to meet and speak with Joe Gannon, the appliance doctor in person. Plus, take advantage of special show pricing.
The deals are in the house. The deals are always in the house. ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
In April of 2009, the Rattle With Us Tea Party was formed in an effort to take a stand for fiscal responsibility, limited government, and free markets. We firmly believe that our venom is our vote. Visit rattlewithus.com for details on monthly meetings and events.
Truth, justice, and the American way.
So don't buy the propaganda. This bogus war on women, too. I don't think any woman in her right mind buys that. I think that they're saying that conservatives or Republicans want to do away with birth control. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Republicans like to get laid just as much as Democrats do, okay? They don't want to take away your birth control. They don't want to take away your birth control, baby.
It's the one and only Theron X, weekdays 3 p.m. to 6.
They're the in crowd. We're the other ones. It's a different kind of cloth that we're cut from. We let our colors show where the numbers ain't. We're the paint where there ain't supposed to be paint. That's who we are. That's how we roll. The outsiders. The outsiders.
Live from University of Dayton, Ohio, the SAE House. So joined by some of the brothers here at the house, and we're going to talk a little bit about Barack's foreign policy and his the way he's dealing with Iran. At this point, he wants to keep Congress from putting any more sanctions in. And he wants more and more months to try and work out a deal with the Iranians. And is Drake, are you on there?
No.
Okay, I was hoping Drake was going to be there. So Bob Menendez, Senator Bob Menendez, has always been a pretty liberal senator, and he's a Democrat. And he came out this week with some very bad news for Barack Hussein Obama. Derek, you got track six ready? Let's play that.
Chairman, you know, I have to be honest with you. The more I hear from the administration and its quotes, the more it sounds like talking points that come straight out of Tehran. And it feeds to the Iranian narrative of victimization when they are the ones with original sin. An illicit nuclear weapons program going back over the course of 20 years that they are unwilling to come clean on. So I don't know why we feel compelled to make their case when, in fact, do you dispute any of the things I said in my opening statement about actions that they have taken as it relates to the UN monitors, as it relates to fueling that rod, as it relates to those other elements? Do you dispute any of those? Just yes or no?
Mr. Ranking Member, no, I think you're largely correct.
Okay. So then the bottom line is they get to cheat in a series of ways. I call it cheat, you won't. But they get to cheat in a series of ways, and we get to worry about their perceptions. Now,
Okay. So when Bob Menendez says that Barack Obama's talking points are coming straight out of Tehran, you've got a problem. You've got an issue of the ultimate importance for him because he's now losing one of the most liberal senators in Congress. What do you do? Does this take you back to Valerie Jarrett and her Iranian connections pushing the White House to give Iran more time, to give them what? Anyone?
You got to remember, it's the same, you know, administration who's stubbing Netanyahu. You know, Speaker Boehner invites him in because he said enough is enough. And the White House is fuming over it. This is the same, you know, Middle East, you know, nonsense that they just don't have a handle on.
Yeah, and I think this was a classic, classic move by Boehner because for the White House to be hypocritically saying, you shouldn't have invited him to come talk to Congress without consulting us first. Really? How about executive action? You're not consulting us with executive action. So it's a little of his own medicine coming at him, and I find it totally disingenuous that the White House can even complain that they're going to worry about Netanyahu coming in and talking to the Congress.
You know, they're using an excuse thing because it's 2 weeks before the election, and because of that, that you know, that they don't want to, you know, show any support to change an election outcome. It's nonsense. It's just pure nonsense.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is, when Netanyahu comes and he speaks and Congress says, no, we're going to add additional sanctions, what will be Barack's game plan at that point? Got any thoughts? Joe?
Good question, Gary.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how childish the administration can actually be. Because you've seen Barack Obama and his vengeful tactics on anything and on anyone who disagrees with him. And it's going to be an interesting 6 months because I really firmly believe that Iran is very close to having a bomb. I really do. If they don't have it already. I mean, they probably do have something that's not dependable, but I firmly believe they probably already have something that can do damage. Whether they can strap it to them and go 600 miles or 1,600 miles, I don't know. But I firmly believe, and frankly for me, I expected the Israelis to attack last summer.
Well, is that a chance you want to take? I bet that they don't have, you know, that's what it comes down to. Is that a chance you want to take?
They've got to have the bomb. I mean, and it's a real testament, by the way, on a side note, that America actually invented and detonated a nuclear weapon in the 40s before the invention of the transistor. And in 2014, we're still talking about Middle Eastern countries that haven't figured it out.
Well, that's an astounding fact when you think about it.
It really is.
You know, with the technology we had in the 40s, we were able to make and detonate an atomic bomb.
Shows how great America is.
Yeah.
Well, damn near 70 years later, hasn't been redone.
Yeah.
Living in a civilized world is a whole difference, I think.
Yeah, well, here's what's going to happen, I think. The Israelis will run out of time. And I believe they will have to have a missile strike. And the region is going to go up in flames. I mean, it's already in flames. So I don't know that a full-on war between Iran and Israel is going to make – there will certainly be more deaths. There will certainly be dragging the West into it because there's no way we could stay out of it. Question is, where do we come in and on whose side? Normally, we would say we would be there to protect Israel. I would hope and believe that that would happen. But everything that the administration has done – in the last 2 or 3 years, tells me that, you know what, we don't have Israel's back. I mean, do you honestly feel we would come to the aid of Israel if there was a war right now?
Well, I think ultimately we would. It wouldn't be with the full backing of our president, but I think the United States, my opinion is that the United States ultimately would do the right thing and support Israel.
But that does raise a good question, though, and, you know, depending on how your feelings are on Israel, is how long are we going to have to do it, and how long should we do it? How long should we be the watchdog for our nation that, you know, that's been, it's been placed geographic in the most bizarre situations in the world, almost some would say artificially, and how long is it going to be until it stands on its own? And
Well, I think we just need to hope that we need to delay this. You know, we got 726 days, 9 hours, 5 minutes, and 14 seconds till Obama's out of office. If we can just hold it down till then, hopefully we can have leadership that can tackle this monstrosity of a problem.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me that we've reached this point where we're allowing Iran to dictate what it is they want. It's the same as the way we handled Korea. We make a promise, we make a contract, they break a contract, we get angry at each other, the rhetoric steams up, and then we go back and make another contract. And we've been doing this with Iran now, as Bob Menendez says, for 20 years. I mean, to a point, I guess I can almost see Barack Obama's point. Every country, who are we to tell Iran they can't have a nuclear weapon? But to quote Spider-Man, or Uncle whatever his name is, with great power comes great responsibility. You want the bomb? You better make your neighbors comfortable enough that they're not going to attack you first. Because if you're out there spouting off that I'm going to wipe Israel off the map, what do you expect Israel to do to keep you from getting the bomb?
And the point we're at as a global society right now is there's no way you can threaten any country on this planet and not threaten about five or six other ones. And it's a scary thought, but it's just the nature of the way the world works, where we are so interconnected globally, whether it be economics, finances, politics. You have to tread lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that comes with the whole globalization that's arisen over the last 7 years. It's come along the same time as the UN. It's the fact that we've entered a world with the interconnectivity that basically has allowed Israel the fighting chance.
Yeah.
In a prior century, you think something like Israel could pop up and stay up?
Okay. All right, so we got 2 minutes left. Derek, is Drake back in the office or no? Okay, so we lost Drake. All right, well, since we don't have Drake to bring a little comedic relief to this pretty serious day, I did want to mention Deflategate. I think we'd be remiss not to at least touch on this before next week's Super Bowl. And Derek, you may want to chime in. But, of course, foot and mouth Joe Biden had one comment, and I had to laugh and call me a little bit of a sicko. But, Derek, you have track 8. This is Joe Biden being interviewed about Deflategate.
Before we say goodbye, what do you make of Deflategate, that 11 of the 12 balls allegedly that the Patriots used in that championship game were underinflated? What do you think of that, soft balls?
Well, I tell you what, having been a receiver, I like a softer ball. That's all I can tell you.
Wow. Oh, I haven't heard that yet.
All right.
Funny,
so,
oh, wow.
All right. No one has ever said that Joe Biden was the smartest tool in the shed, but you know sometimes it's just classic Biden, and you gotta say those. So, God love him. What would we do without Joe Biden? So, anything else, you guys? Final messages?
I'm just gonna go off to Fleetgate here real quick. My mother, God bless her, is a avid tennis player, and she pointed out that twice a week she can notice the problem with a tennis ball. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, he needs to know the difference with the football.
Well, there you go. All right, that's it for another edition of The Drift. Derek, are we out? All right. Okay, so until next time, go to thedailydrift.com, www.thedailydrift.com, and stay abreast of the information and the news that you need to know. And you've got a few days left to get in the next edition of The Current. If you do, call me, 734-629-6010.
Go Flyers!